Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
From the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Episode number 418. Thank you very much for joining the show. We appreciate your patronage. Thank you for being a loyal listener to the show. If you would like to reach out, you can send us an email. mailbag@theBallerLifestyle.com is the email address. Additionally, you can leave us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS is the number to call. Enjoy hearing from the listeners. It's an important aspect of what we do. So if you are, have you been listening for a while, or maybe you're new, please reach out. We would love to hear from you. Also, the Red Circle. You should subscribe to our bonus content. Take, for instance, this guy who left a review on Apple Podcasts, which is also something you can do. Red Falcon with a PH said, Red Circler for life. Grow a pair, Jasper and Leo X. I don't know who those people are. This is a 5-star podcast, and without any hesitation or thought. Wait, let's try this. Let's do this again. Grow a pair, Jasper and Leo X. This is a 5-star podcast without any hesitation or thought. Or is that people that have given us bad reviews? Ed and Brian get real about real life topics. How else can I keep up with which celebrities are dead? The latest games of Daily's Choice or recent updates on clogged pipes of gardenia from Manuel. Red Circler for life. Listen to it. See, that's a very nice, and he gave us 5 stars. Good for you, buddy. So feel free to proffer a review there. Also subscribe. Click the link in the show notes. It's $5 a month. You get all the bonus content we do every single week, in addition to the regular public-facing show. You get all the behind-the-scenes content that is not suitable for the regular airwaves. So that's just a little bonus you get for supporting us. We appreciate it. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and click the link at the top of the page. We were balls deep in our young old guy bracket and just a lot of tons and tons feedback on that. People seem to be really enjoying it. The finals are this week, and I'll be honest, I already know who won. Why? Because we recorded it last week when we recorded the second round, which you heard last week, if you're hashtag team current. So it's actually been over for a while. So a lot of people are like, oh, what's going on with this guy, Red Fox, or whatever. What about the coat? Mike Elko. Maybe he wins it all. I can't remember if he went out last week or not. Maybe he wins it all. I don't remember. So I thought it would be fun to play the finals of the Young Old Guy tournament that we did, of course, with our dear friend Ed Daly, who is away this week, and special guest Jason Stewart, who everybody loves. And then, if it's not too confusing because I'm also talking on the thing, what I could do is I could hop in and offer commentary if I am so inclined. Otherwise, I could just let it play. We'll see. Do you guys think that would be fun? I think that would be fun. So here it is. Without further ado, the finals, I think it's the final 2 rounds or so, or three at least, right? This is the Sweet 16 and below. This is the Sweet 16 all the way down to the winner of the Young Old Guys Tournament. And this is because this had to be explained to Jason Stewart three rounds in, that these are guys that looked much older than they actually were. In case, I mean, Jason Stewart is the only one that needed that explained, I'm pretty sure. But he was there and he did a delightful job. Here it is. The 2024 Baller Lifestyle Podcast Young Old Guys Tournament. And I would encourage you to support the show if you can. Oh, this is me by clicking the link in the show notes. This is me recording the intro which will cost you that I do every week because I just thought this was just going to run. But then I had the idea to just talk over it like I'm doing now. We appreciate anybody that finds it in their heart to support us. I am joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Ah, it's great. We're playing off the finals of our very popular tournament of champions, the Young Old Guys Tournament. And joining us once again to finish in dramatic fashion the Young Old Guys Tournament, of course, is everybody's favorite, Jason Stewart. Jason, how are you?
Hello, everybody.
Hello. Hey, everybody. Now, can we... Wow. There were some concerns last week. Can we expect you to be consistent this week, Jason?
Consistently disruptive with my microphone?
Yes, that too. Also yes. That. Yes. Yeah. Okay, let's just...
A lot of ruckus.
Let's jump... For those of you that haven't listened, and you should be, Jason Stewart, who's been doing radio for 30 years... He and I do a podcast together, which was promoted for some reason by Red Circle. You should check that out. Even if you don't watch The Bachelor, it's a pretty good show. I would listen to it. I barely watch The Bachelor and I'm on it. The Bachelor Lifestyle. Jason Stewart likes to come on there and he likes to see that. Like if you touch the microphone, it makes a noise. You can hear it. And if you're adjusting it constantly, you can hear that. And you know what? It bothers you. It bothers me. It must bother you. So Jason Stewart, he adjusts and touches microphone a whole bunch of times throughout. And he also does a thing, which is very professional, where he drinks a beverage that's filled with ice. And you can hear, I can't duplicate it right now unless I went on YouTube because I do not bring an icy beverage to my podcasting studio because I know you will be able to hear it on the microphone in your ears and you don't want to hear that. But Jason does that every week on the Bachelor Lifestyle. So here we go. Let's continue. Let's jump back into it. Ed Daly, let's finish off the ladies bracket.
Okay. We're at the final four of the ladies.
Okay.
We got one seed, Angela Lansbury. I have to remind everyone, 36 years old in Blue Hawaii or 59 in year one of Murder, She Wrote. Versus Jason's hottie, four seed, 42-year-old Ethel Mertz from I Love Lucy.
Did you guys hear that? That was a bunch of mic touching. There's a bunch of mic touching happening right there. It's impossible to miss. Somebody's like... I can't even do it because my cord is like wrapped up. Somebody's like moving the cord or dragging the mic across a table or something. And it's Jason Stewart that's doing that. Jason Stewart, do the honors. It's your choice. I believe you've been trying to stay consistent by voting for Ethel Mertz every time, which is just to say that you think she looks old as fuck.
No, it's exact opposite. Oh. I haven't voted for her once. Oh. And I don't even think I voted for Lansbury once. Oh. So this would be a brand new choice since I have to choose.
Yeah.
Murder, She Wrote at 51 years old.
59.
Yeah. Darn it. Yeah. That seems about right, to be honest. I'd hate to vote for Ethel here in the final phase, but... I guess, yeah, Ethel Mertz from I Love Lucy. Moving on.
Ed Daly?
Angela Lansbury never looked her age.
No. I got to agree with Ed here. I'm looking at the poster for Blue Hawaii, and it's, I mean, yes, they give her the old lady hairstyle, but come on. She's 7 years older than the guy here. She looks 27 years older than Elvis. Angela Lansbury moves on to the final. Now, I'll be honest. This is me again. I don't know if I'm cheating there because I went on and looked at a picture of Lansbury. I might have gone with Ethel because of the black and white factor. That shit was in black and white, and she looked old as fuck, and she was in her early 40s. But I did go back, and I don't think it's cheating. I wanted to get it right. It's important to get it right, and I went back, and I looked at a picture of Angela Lansbury, and she looked mad old when she was only in her 30s. So that was a good choice by me. Good job. Let's get back to it.
Yeah, for sure. Then we've got the other Final Four matchup. We've got the 3 seed Large Marge, who was 57 when filming that, versus the 2 seed 47-year-old Gene Stapleton, Edith Bunker.
Ed Daly, the choice Gene is yours.
Stapleton.
Yeah. It's, I think,
47 years old as Edith Bunker, yes, for sure.
I don't know if Jason's consistency rule will affect this at all, but I also like Gene Stapleton to move on. I believe Jason's been voting for her the whole time. Jason?
Yeah, I can't believe she was that young when she was on All in the Family. That's crazy.
And that brings it down to the final, right, Ed?
Yep. We've got Lansbury versus Stapleton.
I mean, hold on. I'm just good. The choice is mine, and I'm just going to type in Edith Bunker right here just so I can get a fresh look. So I know I'm doing my due.
Like, even if it's year 4.
Yes.
And she's 51.
I mean, okay, I'm jumping back in here. I'm at the edge of my seat because honestly, I'm racking my brain here. And yeah, this was a week ago. I have no idea. Number one, I don't know who I voted for. I don't remember at all. 2, I don't know who wins. I don't know who anybody voted for. So this is actually electrifying stuff for me here, re-listening to it. Like, it's new to me, just like it's new to you. Okay, let's jump back in. Buddy, it's just not even a choice as far as I'm concerned. Gene Stapleton is your winner. Ed or Jason? Yes.
Yeah, if unanimous. She was in her 50s, she was cast to be in her late 60s. I think she carries the day on this. I think Gene Stapleton wins this thing.
Yeah, she's supposed to be 47 here. Come on.
Congrats, Edith.
Yes.
You won.
Absolutely. Great. Hard.
Is she
hard.
Still alive?
No.
Okay.
What's interesting to me too, this is me, I'm back. I don't know if it, cause I'm talking both places. So I don't know if you can tell it's me from before. It gets confusing when we've done this in the past. When we were doing this tournament and I Googled Gene Stapleton to just have another look at her, I think I accidentally Googled Edith Bunker because I couldn't remember her name. And it popped up. Remember a couple years ago, they did like a tribute to Norman Lear, who just died. But he was like 98 years old when they did it. They were like, they did a live version of All in the Family. And what was the other show he did? I mean, he did a bunch of shows. They did 2. I can't remember the other one. They did All in the Family. And Woody Harrelson, who's awesome and everything, he played Archie Bunker. And then they really did Gene Stapleton dirty because Marissa Tomei played Edith. And Marissa Tomei is like 60. But she's one of the all-time great pieces of ass that's ever existed. Like, she's 60, but she looks like she's about 41. So it's actually, they actually went with a reverse young old guy. They went with an old young guy to play Edith in the live action version that they did a couple years ago. So actually just really not too kind to the memory of the great Gene Stapleton. I will say that. Okay. We're getting back to it. So Jason,
died in 2013.
Okay.
Okay. All right. But she should have died in like 1981. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So congrats, Gene Stapleton.
Absolutely.
You did it.
Yes. Great job.
All right. So now we're down to the final four of the sports bracket. We got a murderer's row. This is the hardest one, I think. Yeah. One seed, 19-year-old Greg Oden from the 07 draft versus 65 years old today, Otis Nixon, the five seed.
God, this could easily be the final. This is so tough because Otis Nixon was from my childhood. And, you know, it's back then we had a lot of mostly pitchers, but you had Gaylord Perry, who had to hate his parents' guts for giving him that name, obviously. But he played into his 50s, I think. Who could forget?
The Negro Brothers?
Yes, the Negroes, Phil and Joe. Great knuckleballer. Charlie Huff was also very old. Remember, he was in the expansion draft for the original Marlins. So I was like, oh, it makes sense that, yeah, he looks 61, but he's really 49 and he's still playing. That's what I thought of Otis Nixon. But I keep coming back to this. Greg Oden was 19 years old.
He's a teenager.
He was a teenager. I got to go Greg
Practically
Oden.
Practically a boy.
Yeah, Greg Oden. Jason Stewart.
No, I can't believe those names that you listed, Charlie Huff and Phil Negro, those were names of my childhood as well.
Yep.
And there,
Jason Stewart can't believe. Sorry. Jason Stewart can't believe I brought up some names that he knew. Never mind. Okay, let's get back to it.
It's a great call. Each one of those. I have to go Otis Nixon. Again, he was caught with a crack pipe in 2013.
Yeah. What does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with his old lookingness? I guess he'll explain.
And that you could have said that in 1983 and 93. And
yeah. He's still alive.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Wow. Otis Nixon. That leaves it to you, Ed.
Going with the teenager. Yeah. That's not a teenage face.
No. That's not a 70 age face.
Yeah.
Greg Oden moves on.
What's the medical term for this whole thing? Was it
progeria?
Progeria.
Yeah.
Like Charlie Brown disease.
Yeah.
Is he diagnosed?
I don't think so. No, he doesn't have it. He just looks old.
I know he liked the sauce.
Yeah.
But I don't think he had crack issues. I think he just looked like shit for a young man.
Yeah, some people just look old as fuck when they're young. Yeah.
And then we've got a very, not by design, we've got a matchup of very similar guys. We've got the three seed, Jim Leland, 48 years old on the 92 Pirates, versus 50-year-old Sparky Anderson, the two seed, 84 Tigers. Leland versus Sparky.
I think it's Jason Stewart's turn. Jason?
Well, if we're judging this on championships, I think Sparky's got three.
No, we're not judging it on that.
That's actually not one of the qualifications.
No, it isn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I think Sparky was a trailblazer for Jim Leland. I don't think Jim would have gone down his lifestyle choices if Sparky Anderson hadn't done the two carts a day, live on the sun lifestyle. The original Sparky Anderson, I got to go with.
Ed?
I can't believe Leland doesn't make it to the Final Four. But Sparky Anderson looked older.
Yeah. I mean, I got to make it unanimous there as well. Sparky Anderson was just the original, just old as fuck looking dude that just wasn't that old. He walked so Leland could run.
So do we play out this bracket or we move to the next bracket?
Let's just go through the brackets and we'll come back.
Okay. Yeah. So we got the sitcom bracket. Jeez.
Yeah.
We've got the 8 seed, Jim Backus, 51 years old, as Thurston Howell on Gilligan's Island, versus the 12 seed, 46 years old, on Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ted Knight, or 56 in Caddyshack.
This one's yours.
I'm going Backus. Thurston Howell, 51.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I agree. Jim Backus, Thurston Howell, he was an older looking dude than Ted Knight. Jason?
I agree. As the listeners probably know, I've been very consistent with Ted Knight, but I'm gonna vote against him and go with Backus. He's gonna go to the championship game, Backus.
Yeah. He's going for a shot at the Final Four. He's about to get out of that bracket.
Yeah. Yep. Who's next?
We've got the 3 seed, Carol O'Connor, 46 years old, is Archie Bunker, versus the 49-year-old 7 seed, Red Fox, Sanford and Son.
Obviously, Archie Bunker here. Jason?
I don't think it gets any worse than Carol O'Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Archie sweeps.
A lot of sweeps here. Interesting. And these are tough matchups.
We're going to the movie bracket. We got 50-year-old Wilford Brimley, 50, from Cocoon, versus 23-year-old Nick Cage, H.I. McDonough, from Raising Arizona.
Jason Stewart.
Oh, my gosh.
Jason continuing to fuck with the microphone. You guys hear that, right? And I know that he is hearing impaired, and I don't want to. I mean, I don't. When you're making the noise, you can't hear yourself making the noise, whether or not you have perfect, robust hearing ability or not. But he just sits there and he messes with it. He's like, I think he might be like touching the cord or something. It's very distracting, and I apologize to you guys. You deserve better. Not really. Here we go.
I've been consistent on this, as the listeners know, that if Nick Cage in his late 20s started doing plastic surgery, he knew he was getting too old. I'm going to go with same thinking and take him to the Final Four.
Yeah. Ed Daly?
I'm going Brimley. 50 years old, Cocoon.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
I mean, he's the gold standard. I also like Wilford Brimley here. He was just one of these old looking. I mean, 50 years old. Jason Stewart is 50 years old. Wilford Brimley looked like an 85-year-old man at 50 years old.
Yeah, believable in Cocoon.
Yes.
We've got the 6 seed, 51-year-old as Tessio in The Godfather, Abe Vigoda, versus 36-year-old Burt Young as Paulie and Rocky.
This is yours, Ed.
Paulie.
Yeah, it's Paulie.
Tessio looks like shit, sure. But Paulie doesn't look
30s. He looked equally like shit, and he was in his 30s. Jason Stewart?
Yeah, I can't not do Paul Young. Or what, Burt Young. Young? Yeah. I cannot
Paul Young.
I can't not do that.
Okay. Miscellaneous bracket. We've got 50-year-old Alex Jones versus 44-year-old 4-seed Bernie Capel, Doc from the Love Boat.
Is it whose turn is it? Is it my turn?
I think it's
yours.
It might be mine.
Okay, go.
I'm going Doc from the Love Boat.
Yeah. Now, when you say Alex Jones is 50, you mean he was 50 10 years ago when I first heard of him? Is that what you're...
In the aughts.
Yeah.
No, he's 50 right now.
50 right now.
No way.
Jason, you're still doing the thing with the mic. What is
I'm
that?
I'm doing nothing.
Yeah, it's that
I'm
sound.
I'm literally just holding are my you, body
you,
still.
You tapping your foot? Or what? Because it stopped now. I brought it up and it stopped. So
you're
something
buying time. You're buying no, time.
Just to make it interesting, I mean, they're both old as fuck. I like how he puts it back on me. As if I've just invented that he's making all this noise with the mic. He tries to gaslight me into saying that there's something wrong with me. What a piece of shit. Alex Jones, though, is one of the classics that we've discussed on the show. And I'm not letting that hard fought battle with the great Travis Rogers go unheralded. I like Alex Jones. Jason Stewart, Alex Jones, or Doc from the Love Boat?
No brainer. Alex Jones cannot be 50 years old.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, he's going against the winner of the three seed, Roy Orbison, 52 years old when he died in 88, versus two seed, Ted Cruz, 53 today. God damn. This is Jason's, I think.
I mean, no, I think it's mine.
This is not Terry Crews?
Yeah. I'm... This is so hard. I don't like Ted Cruz is funnier, but I got to go Roy Orbison. I mean, the sunglasses, the black wig, he looked 80. Roy Orbison. Jason Stewart.
I mean, looking back, he was dealing with something that aged him, right? Like he had MS or something. Like was on a
well, what, question, what whatever Roy killed Orbison him doing? At 52.
He had a heart attack.
Oh.
But yeah. he wasn't dealing with any other health issues.
I don't think so.
Kind of- also, yeah. Despite his fame, yeah. I'm pretty sure he was never intimate with a pretty woman. Huh. I mean, he looked like shit.
I mean, I'm looking at pictures of him now, like from the 50s when he's first coming up.
Yeah,
he looks 70 years old.
I had read. And I think you can look on his Wikipedia. When he wrote Pretty Woman, it was about Jean Stapleton. So it all goes full circle.
Yeah.
Roy Orbison's my choice on this one.
Okay. He moves on. Ed, do you agree?
He moves on.
Yep.
I agree. He moves on.
Uh-huh.
All right. So we are at the Elite Eight.
Okay.
We've got sports. Greg Oden. 19 years old in the 07 draft versus Sparky Anderson, 50 years old, the 84 Tigers.
Jason Stewart, who do you like? Greg Oden, Sparky Anderson.
As the listeners know, I have not voted for Oden yet, even though he's a one seed.
You're nothing if not consistent.
Very consistent.
Sparky Anderson, I think, takes this entire thing. Sparky Anderson.
Okay. Ed Daly?
He's going to win. Sparky.
Whoa.
As much as Oden was the one seed.
Yes.
Sparky, like, you know, I was born in 76. Like, one of the first World Series teams I remember well was, and I had baseball cards when I'm 8. Sparky Anderson, for him to be 50 on the 84 Tigers, I cannot comprehend that.
I think that's an upset, but Sparky Anderson moves on. Wow.
Sitcom bracket.
I will say that's a pretty big upset. Greg Oden. I mean, all of these. Here's the thing. Anybody that made the Sweet 16 in this thing easily had a chance to win it all. It's just all of these matchups are just razor thin margins. But I for one, was stunned to see the very old looking Sparky Anderson beat out the incredibly old-looking, remember, teenager, Greg Oden. But that's why they play the games. That is why they play the games.
Bracket. We got 51 years old Jim Backus, Thurston Howell on the Gilligan's Island versus 46-year-old Archie Bunker.
Ed? Ed Daly? Who do you like there? I think it's your turn.
I know. I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm going Jim Backus.
Thurston Howell?
51 years old. He was like the old ancient millionaire.
That's true. That's pretty young. I got to go Archie Bunker because he's just so classically old, which leaves it in the hands of Jason Stewart, who is a complete wild card, which is why you bring him on this show. Jason Stewart, be consistent.
I'm going with 5'2" Carol O'Connor.
Carol O'Connor.
Okay, we've got the movie bracket. We got.
You know what I think he might be doing? He might be muting when he's not talking. And then when he goes to talk, he unmutes, which makes a noise. Because he's got a click a switch on the microphone. I think we've determined there's a mute button error that he's making. I think that's what's going on.
50-year-old in Cocoon, Wilford Brimley versus 36-year-old Paulie in Rocky.
These were the two guys that I said look so old that they should just be the emeritus champions.
Yeah, right. They're just automatically in the winner's circle.
They're facing off. This is so hard. You can't go wrong either way, but I'm going to go Paulie, Adrian's brother, her shiftless layabout brother. Yes. I like Paulie. Jason Stewart.
Yeah, Burt Young for sure.
Down goes Brimley.
Paulie in a sweep. Yes. I can't believe Brimley's down. Okay. 50-year-old today, Alex Jones, versus 52 years old when he died in 88, Roy Orbison.
Jason Stewart.
I'm going to remain consistent. Roy Orbison.
Ed Daly.
Roy Orbison.
Yeah, I just looked at him. I mean, when he was 19, he looked 60. It's wild.
Okay, we've got Sparky Anderson, 50 and 84, versus Archie Bunker, who is 46.
Whose turn is it? Mine? No, it's Ed's.
Yeah, it's yours.
Oh, it's mine. Archie Bunker versus who? Sparky Anderson?
Sparky, 50-year-old Sparky.
I like Archie Bunker, Carol O'Connor, in a tough matchup. Jason Stewart!
I agree. Let's go Archie the whole way.
Yes.
I had Sparky, but yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Sparky looked like shit.
He did. He really did. He was very tan.
Then we leathery. Get 36-year-old Paulie from Rocky versus 52 years old when he died, Roy Orbison.
Jason Stewart?
Man, this is a tough one.
Yeah.
This is impossible.
They're getting tough.
I'll go with Roy Orbison.
Ed Daly?
I'm going 36-year-old Paulie.
Man. Whew. I mean, hold on. Because I'm just going to look at Paulie. I'm just going to get a fresh set of eyes here. Just doing my due diligence here. Wow. This guy's 36 years old. I mean, Roy Orbison was born old, but Paulie had to do some work to get this old looking by his 30s. I like Paulie to move on to. I'll be honest. Still not sure I got it right. One of the toughest decisions of my life. Google him right now. Burt Young, Rocky, Roy Orbison, really at any stage of his life. Because Roy Orbison, at 19 years old, looked 70 years old. He was as close as we had to another Greg Oden situation. I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to make a call. And they're both really just old as fuck looking young guys. I went with Paulie. To the final, Burt Young.
Okay. So there we have it. Archie Bunker, the final.
Ed, Archie or Bunker. Jason, the choice is yours.
Paulie.
Jason.
Man, this is tough. I think this is almost impossible.
46-year-old Archie versus 36-year-old Paulie. Who looks worse for their age?
I'm going to flip a coin, and I'm going to go with Paulie, Burt Young.
Wow. Should be noted that the guy that preached consistency throughout that literally thought you guys were making notes on his picks, that you guys had a Jason Stewart bracket that you were playing along with. He literally decided to flip a coin on the final. Let's flip a coin, he said. That's how serious he took it. Ed Daly? Jason not being consistent, by the way. I'll just point out. Ed Daly?
I'm going Archie.
Oh, my God.
All the pressure's on you.
You leave it up to me? Hold on.
Yep.
Okay. I just looked at Polly. I'm going to look with a fresh set of eyes at Archie Bunker. Hold on here.
I was surprised. Wikipedia has him at 5'11".
Inflated by 9 inches.
Yeah, that's 5'8".
Oh, man.
He was the same height as George Jefferson, and George Jefferson was 5 feet.
Tiny, yeah. Oh, this is so hard. I mean, Polly, Archie.
It was always going to be this.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to Archie Bunker. He's your champion. Archie Bunker is the oldest looking young guy.
Congratulations. Yeah.
What an unbelievable tournament. Really edge of your seat excitement throughout. A lot of big upsets. A lot of chalk. I mean, it was great all the way around. Jason Stewart, fantastic job as always. We love having you. We couldn't have done it without you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason.
I want to give credit to the organizer, whoever put it together, the committee that put together that entire.
It was our listeners. They just kept suggesting.
It was the listeners.
Very good.
Yes, with all the amazing suggestions.
I will talk to you when we do our movie review next.
Okay, let's do it. Thank you, Jason.
All right, thanks, Jason. Yeah.
Later. Bye.
Okay. There you have it. It was a tough final, and I know this is going to be controversial. It's only just now that I realized that the Bunkers won both the men's and women's. This is like UCLA winning the NCAA tournament and the Lady Bruins winning the women's NCAA tournament because it was both Bunkers. I just now realized that. The Bunkers won both tournaments, which was amazing. I would love to get your thoughts. It was really fun to do. It was really enjoyable. I want to thank Ed. I want to thank Jason Stewart for being consistent. I want to thank the listeners, everybody that participated. It was a fantastic event. I hope everybody appreciated it. Now let's talk about some people who died.
Just tell us who is dead now. On who's alive, nope. Let's get a tragic update.
Tragic update.
Cause Ed Daly has been keeping up on who just died.
Yep.
Cause we're about to hear from Ed on which celebrities are dead. So tell me who died.
Who died? Who died? Who died?
Tell me who died.
Who died? Who died?
Few deaths this week. Chance Perdomo. Which sounds like a pit boss that moonlights as a twink prostitute, Chance Perdomo. He was an actor. Star of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. Never heard of it. Also Gen V, which I have to admit, also something I have never heard of. He was 27. It's kind of mysterious circumstances. Bought it in a motorcycle crash, but nobody's saying where or when. This could be a faked his own death situation or could be a mom walked in and saw him hanging by the closet rod naked with a big jug of Crisco. Just really died by means of autoerotic asphyxiation, potentially. And that, because that's when you say motorcycle crash. Because look, motorcycle crash sounds badass. That's a much more pleasant way to die than the Carradine route. Although we're pretty sure Carradine got offed, right? Like he was in Thailand. He was autoerotically asphyxiating himself in Thailand, where he had access to all manner of ladyboys and or massage parlors. Come on. I believe, didn't we also lose Michael Hutchins this way, or did he just straight up OD? So beautiful, that Michael Hutchins. Very sad. We also lost this week Louis Gossett Jr., first black man to win a supporting actor Oscar. I believe that was for An Officer and a Gentleman, which starred Richard Gere. And I don't know, I've never seen that. I think Deborah Winger was in that with her little mini, cute little flapjacks. I don't know what that is. I think it's just like, he's like a drill sergeant that yells. He's like a Sergeant Hulka type or an Arlie Ermey situation where he's just a drill sergeant. He's a real hard ass. But I'll be honest. I don't know one thing about An Officer and a Gentleman. I've never seen it. I don't know what it's about. I don't know anything about it, but he was in it. And I believe that he won a Academy Award for it. He was also in Enemy Mine, where he was an alien male. He was the original of that emoji of the pregnant man. There's a pregnant man emoji. Well, he was a space alien. And I believe he, again, movie I've never seen, he and Dennis Quaid, handsome, are marooned on a moon or something, some other planet. And he's a space alien and he looks kind of like Thing from Fantastic Four, but like more like a lizard version, less brick, more lizard, but same color, similar. And I believe at one point he gives birth to some other alien because it's like seahorses or whatever, where the males carry the offspring. He was in that. Of course, Iron Eagle, where he trains a guy that's good at video games how to fly jets. And it's embarrassing to me that I'm only just now realizing that that was a propaganda film for the military industrial complex. It's just, I'm so like, all that stuff's lost on me. And now I look back on it, like, oh, they're training video guys that are good at the arcade to fly jets. This is true. This is 100% to drum up recruitment, which all of those Top Gun, all of those movies are. Recruitment's low. We need a fighter pilot movie so that all these future meth heads in middle America join up. They sign up like they're going to fly jets. They're not, but we'll get them to sign up anyway by having them watch Iron Eagle. Also in Iron Eagle, I believe he throws on like some sick like 80s Night Ranger in his Walkman when he's flying F-14s around the desert, so which is kind of badass. RIP Louis Gossett Jr. 87. I mean, it's a pretty long run. Also RIP Jennifer Garner's dad. Very sad. If she needs comfort, she's can find it locally. How about this guy, Lewis Conter, last survivor of the USS Arizona, sunk in Pearl Harbor, 102 years old. Shouts out to Pearl Harbor. 102. Or what's that make him in the, was he about 17? When he joined up for WW2, we just let that one happen, right? I don't know anything about it, but usually we do. If there's a war going on and we want to be in it or we want to start one, we just let some shit happen or say some shit happened. So that could be what happened there. I think it is. Also, RIP Lee Anthony Mrozek, 55, AKA New York City DJ Crazy Cabby, famous for his appearances on the Howard Stern show. I believe I recall he won some kind of contest on the Stern show where he won a sizable amount of money and then didn't pay taxes on it and had to do federal time for that. I recall that. Sounds like he was in some pretty bad health at his of late and eventually succumbed to whatever that is. And also RIP Barbara Rush, she was 97. She was an actress. She co-starred with Frank Sinatra and Paul Newman, which means she fucked those guys, right? I mean, I assume so. And that's no shade on her. Paul Newman was beautiful. If you act in a movie with Paul Newman and you have the opportunity, you're going to have sex with him. He's beautiful. And Frank Sinatra, whose music sucks, we all know that. And I would not say he's especially handsome. He had those beautiful blue eyes, but he also had, he was deformed. He had such a large penis that he had to have special underwear designed to contain his dong. So I'm assuming Barbara Rush got a hold of that as well. So nice life, you know, 97 years old. Good for her. RIP Barbara Rush. Also, Vontae Davis, former NFL cornerback, Dolphins, Colts, Bills, 35 years old, found dead in his home. It's usually one of two potential reasons for that, especially with a football player, somebody that's had potentially a lot of head trauma. So RIP Vontae Davis. Okay, let's talk a little sports. That's not it. Here.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own joy on DVD.
Couple sports topics to discuss this week. First one, the Masters is apparently coming up. Do you guys have some buddies, white guys obviously, that get all too messent for the Masters? It's like, it's a golfing thing, you know, and these dudes are like, get erections about it. They take a day off work to watch a golfing match. It's kind of weird. Like, guys, it's a golf, like, who cares? I mean, it's not, look, I like cool stuff. I like tattoos. I like rock and roll. I like, that's about it. I like, that's it. Well, I mean, I like the LA Kings, stuff like that. The stuff that's cool. Being tan. I like being tan a lot. I like shopping for raw denim. Trying to find deals on that. That's what I'm into, okay? I'm not into taking a day off work to watch a golfing match in especially in a racist place. Like, not, you know, I'm not going to, like, get on a soapbox here, but it takes place in Georgia, and if they show highlights of any of the golfing matches from even like the 80s, all the cat, yeah, they had like house caddies and they were all black dudes. And it's doesn't seem like my kind of place. That's all. So whatever, you know, it's like better than the other golfing matches that are on TV. I don't know why. 'Cause they paint the grass and kill the squirrels and they dye the lakes or whatever, so they're extra blue, so they look better. The golfing match looks better on TV. Also, if you wake up in the morning and want to just throw on the golfing match while you're having breakfast or whatever, you can't watch it because they don't put it on. They don't put the morning part of it on. Look, I fuck the Masters and fuck anybody that loves the Masters, and I'm not into it. But what I am into is this dude that won it a few years ago. This guy from Argentina won it a while back. And I remember I was rooting for him because he's like 60 pounds overweight. And he was literally smoking cigarettes the entire time. His name is Angel Cabrera. He's from Argentina. And since his life has taken a bit of a downturn since his big Masters win. When was that? I'm going to guess 2012. Let's look here. Angel Cabrera is scheduled to play this week on the PGA Tour Champions Circuit. Oh, so he's back out there on the Senior Tour. He's also reportedly been extended an invitation to play in a Korn Ferry Tour event next week. Oh, 2009. But whether the 2009 Masters winner, who was recently released from prison, will be at this year's tournament at Augusta National remains unclear. Cabrera's schedule is taking shape after he was released from a prison in his home country of Argentina in early August. He had been sentenced in July 2021 for threats and harassment of his partner, a case that was joined by another former partner. Well, okay. That's imprisonable. I mean, there's two sides to, or in this case, three sides to every story. Surprise, he got locked up for that. This week, Cabrera is listed among those in the field for the Champions. I think this is a couple weeks ago, actually, so don't like be all serious golf guy. That already happened. In the field for the Champions Trophy Hassan 2 event in Morocco. Like, yeah, can he even get a visa? That's in Morocco. It will mark his first play in a PGA Tour sanctioned event since his release. In December, it was reported that Cabrera had been told he had been reinstated to the PGA Tour and the 50 and over PGA Tour champions following a suspension. The Champions Tour president, Miller Brady, said that Cabrera has the right to play. That's right. He's been gone for 3 years and served time in jail and had time for personal reflection. Do we know that he's had any? He's had time for it. It's a bit like Jim Thorpe, who spent time in jail for tax evasion. He was welcomed back. It's a little different. Jim Thorpe played on the tour. I thought he was a football dude and a track. Didn't he like run the 100? He won the 100 meters with some shoes he found in the trash or something. Also, he was an American Indian, so he gets a little more leeway. He's one of our own. This dude's from South America. What do we give a fuck? It's a little different. I don't know if he can travel to the United States because he needs a visa. I think guys forgive. I'm not sure if spouses will forgive, but that's the bigger question. But he has the right to play. Oh, like, it might be a problem that Jennifer Scheffler isn't a fan, or Tina Spieth. Is Jordan Spieth married? I don't know. Next week, Cabrera is expected to play in the Korn. I think all this happened already. It might already be. His status for the Masters set for April 11th to 14th remains unclear. Let's find out together. Because it has to have been determined by now. Cabrera's 2009 victory granted an exemption into the major. But as of Tuesday afternoon, he was listed under past champions not playing on the Masters website. Oh, let's click on it right now. Let's see what it says. Let's see who else is on there. All players. Okay. Professionals. Amateurs. Oh, look. It's, oh, this is in alphabetical order. And I do not see on this list Angel Cabrera, who is a fucking past champion. Maybe he couldn't get a visa. Let's find out. Last month during a press conference, Cabrera would definitely be welcome back, but maybe not. We certainly wish him the best of luck. Oh, yeah. And we'll definitely welcome back if he's able to straighten out those legal issues. Well, it sounds like he did his bid. He served his time. And I thought this was for, you know, assaults. This was just only for threatening assaults. I mean, give him a break. What else is he going to do? He's a fat South American dude that smokes cigarettes. Let's Google right now if there's been an update on this, because let the man play. Like, we all need something to, how great would it be if he played and won? He's old as fuck, but he's 54. Let's see, news released. I don't think there's any new. I mean, he's not on the list. Out of prison. Oh, he can return to the Masters on one condition. Oh, 1 week. Oh, yeah. See, they knew this was going on. They're like, yeah, he can play. No big deal. Update. Masters winner Angel Cabrera won't return to Augusta National after U.S. visa denied. They knew that was coming. Also, how do you lose to a dude that's fat and smokes cigarettes? That's not named John Daly. You know, that's, I mean, that's a game, right? Golf. The fat cigarette guy can win that athletic contest. Makes you wonder. Is it an athletic contest? Not really. It is a game of skill. That's for fucking sure. Angel Cabrera Masters return thwarted amid visa application deal. So they just won't let him in the country because he did time. Maybe, this is where I say, maybe he should go to San Ysidro. I heard they're letting a lot of people in that way. Apparently not. Okay. Well, good luck to you, Angel Cabrera. We were all rooting for you. Here's another one. Something I saw this just yesterday that I was wondering if anybody else saw. First of all, I've recently, this isn't something I saw yesterday. This is something I've seen recently. Are you guys noticing that there's a bunch of huge liars pretending to care about the women's NCAA tournament these days? Because I've seen it. I've seen a lot of people like, oh, Caitlin Clark and what? There's one team with a fat girl on it that can ball. She's like a bowling ball out there. I don't know who that is. But people are pretending that they care about ladies basketball. Guys, it's okay. You don't have to pretend to like the women's Final Four just to simp to ladies or whatever. Like, what is the reason that they're trying to act like they like it? Because ladies don't even care about the ladies Final Four, but they show highlights of it now for some reason, and all sorts of people are pretending they watch it for reasons unknown. Nobody even cares about the men's tournament. And you know how I know nobody cares about the ladies? Besides the fact that it's being wholly contested by women? Because I just saw yesterday that they played the final eight or whatever. Great. Elite eight. And they realized, I don't know if it was after one of the games or before. It was definitely before one game. So it might have been before all the games. They realized they painted the key the wrong size, but only on one side of the court. And nobody gave a shit. They just played anyway. That's all you need to know. That's, you don't have to pretend to like women's basketball anymore when the people in charge aren't even pretending to care about it. And I know what you're thinking. Well, I think about this all the time. Like, how do they measure shit? I think about this all the time. Like when they make a bridge or something, I'm like, how the fuck do they know how to do that? How do they know where to dig the footings? and it's made out of concrete, and they build like a wooden form, and then they pour the concrete in there a little at a time until it spreads the span. And how does it reach on both sides? Like, it's, I'm blown away by the time, by the way anything is measured and made. So the fact that they are able to measure the free throw lines identical and on every court exactly the same way, that's, I mean, that's amazing. That's a feat of engineering as far as I'm concerned. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, they weren't, there's a quarter inch here, 3/8 there, variance. Because then, you know, then they got to paint it on. And I don't know how they do that, how they paint it straight. Is there, do they shoot a laser? Is it, does it involve lasers? Anything that's made, I'm fucking blown away by how it's made. So it's, you know, if they're a little bit off, whatever, it's no big deal, right? It's because they both play at the same, they both go spend an equal amount of time going at each basket, right? One half, they go one way, one half, they go the other. But then I read the headline. 3-point line at Portland NCAA tournament game was 9 inches short. I could tell that by looking. I'm not an engineer. A bizarre scene took place in Portland ahead of Sunday's NCAA women's tournament game between NC State and Texas. My horns, my lady horns. Did they win? As officials took out measuring tapes to measure the distance of the 3-point lines. It turns out that one of them was short. The NCAA announced in a statement on Monday that the 3-point line on one side of the court was 9 inches shorter than regulation. That's not even close. Per the statement, the center hole on the court, oh, this is how they do it, was punched in the wrong place, leading to the discrepancy. The statement cited human error by the finisher contracted by Connor Sports. Oh, this is a weed situation. Portland? This guy was high as fuck. Put the hole in the wrong spot. As the cause of the misplaced line, Connor Sports is the NCAA supplier hired to produce and install all men's and women's basketball predetermined site tournament courts, according to the statement. Notice they didn't fuck up the men's court. That's all I'm saying. After the conclusion of the Elite Eight game, this is their statement, and a subsequent team practice, so they played one whole game before they noticed, the NCAA worked with a Connor Sports certified technician. I'm going to need to see that certification, by the way, to inspect the court markings in Portland. Review of the Portland court found the center hole was punched in the wrong position, which resulted in the incorrect arc measurement for the 3-point line. The center hole was placed approximately 9 inches from the center of the basket, causing the arc of the 3-point line to be approximately 9 inches short at the apex of the arc. Connor Sports and the NCAA found the inaccurate line was a result of human error by the finisher contracted by Connor Sports. The review also found the sides of the 3-point line were accurately painted, as were all other court markings. So it's just the top of the key. So basically, they stand under the hoop, right? And then they take a length of string, because whatever it's supposed to be, like 21 feet or I don't even know. And then they go out to the top and then they mark it. And then they go out to the sides and they mark it and then they paint a line, right? Well, apparently they were standing 9 inches under the, like below the hoop, not directly in the middle, because then it made the 3-point line closer at the top. Per the statement, Stanford coach Tara Vanderveer, whose Cardinal lost to NC State while playing on the improperly marked court offered pointed criticism of the error in a statement provided to the media. What happened with the court in Portland is inexcusable and unfair to every team that played on it. She's right. But nobody cares. Vanderveer's statement reads, when you arrive at a gym, especially in the NCAA tournament, at the very least, you expect the baskets to be 10 feet and the floor markings to be correct. Yeah, unless it's the ladies tournament, which nobody cares about. For an error of that magnitude to overshadow what has been an incredible 2 weekends, who knows? Nobody knows. NC State, Texas played on despite the erroneous line. Yeah, so this is what happened. They found it out after one game, and they're like, okay, let's play the other one. The discrepancy was discovered prior to Sunday's regional final between the Wolfpack and Longhorns. With the discovery made just prior to tip, the game was played with the misplaced lines. Each team played a half with a shorter three-point line. Now, that's bullshit. Because somebody should have gone out there, once they figured it out, somebody should have gone out there with one of those upside down spray paint cans, like they make the when they're going to put fiber optics in your neighborhood and they paint on the sidewalk. They do an upside down thing. They use the upside down spray paint can and it's usually like bright orange. Somebody should have gone out there and made a new line. But that would have been embarrassing to them. But this is embarrassing to them. Why not get it right? The discrepancy was discovered prior to Sunday's regional final between the Wolfpack and Longhorns. My Lady Horns. With the discovery made just prior to tip. Game was played with the misplaced lines. Each team played a half with the shorter three-point line. NC State shot 9 of 18 from three-point distance in a 77-66 win. Texas went 1 for 6. Texas! You got an easier three-point line for half the game. Put them up! The Wolfpack actually performed better on the regulation line where they shot 6 of 9 from long distance. According to the statement, how do you only shoot 6 three-pointers when you know one of the lines is closer? 4 prior NCAA tournament games were played on the court, but 4 games before the error was discovered, all of them in the Sweet 16. UConn and USC will play the final game on the court Monday night. In the tournament's last regional final, the court will be regulation for the Huskies and Trojans. Who cares? Now, here's what this, you want to add some excitement to the lady tournament? Just show up and don't tell them and have the lines be different every game. I've been advocating this for years. They should do like the Rock and Jock, like MTV used to do, where you, if you shoot it from one circle that's further out, it's 5 points. There should be a 5-point shot. If you shoot it from certain areas, and also if it's a ladies game and one of them dunks, it should be 100 points, 100 points for a dunk. No, is that too much? I mean, it'll never happen. So it could be 800 points. How about 800 points for a dunk? No. Okay. 50. It doesn't matter. It'll never happen. Let's put some fun rules out there. Let's have those couple trampolines out there. Maybe some obstacles on the court. I want people to care about this. And instead of pretending to care, which they're doing, everyone's pretending to care right now, which is unkind to the ladies. I'm actually being more kind because I'm not pretending to care. But I would care if they played on a more interesting court like this one. Okay, let's do some email.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one
else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless, shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's been well in Gardenia.
Okay. Couple of voicemails here.
Hey guys, it's Drew in Phoenix. So I talked about this last week on the after show, but since it got brought back up on the episode last week, I wanted to revisit it. First of all, I'm
check out the after show every week with Dolomite D, dear friend of the show, the great Super Lee, and the equally great Ben 906, both 75 harders. Check it out on the Stereo app, although I think they may have moved it to the Discord site. Either way, but if you do check it out on the Stereo app, download the Stereo app with my link, stereo.com/Brian Beckner. That would be nice of you. Here's more.
Super proud of everyone who did the 75 hard. It's a great accomplishment, especially those of you that completed it.
How's all my harders doing? I'll tell you what it's like for me. Let me tell you. Yesterday, I went to the gym. Yesterday was Easter. Went to the gym. After the gym, I took my children to get some dim sum dumplings. We really fucked it up. We really went for it. We had noodles, those meatball thingies, all the good kind of soup dumplings. Delicious. Really fantastic. And then I went about my day. And then, but at night, I went to bed. I got in bed. And look, I lifted heavy yesterday. I squatted. I did overhead press, deadlifts. I got after it. I go heavy. Last night when I got into bed, I had the hardest time falling asleep. And I drank plenty of water. I didn't have any alcohol. I got in bed and I was laying there not able to fall asleep. And I'm thinking to myself, I needed to do that 45-minute outdoor workout today. I didn't do it. I did one workout, not two. I did my indoor workout, but not my outdoor. And now I can't sleep. So today I did two 45-minute workouts because I'm terrified of not being able to fall asleep again. How's everyone else's 75 hard come down going? Are you having similar issues? Cause I'm still basically doing most of the stuff, just not as focused on it. Assume that's everybody else's thing too.
But this phase one talk, it has me worried about my dear friends, Super Lee and Brian. You're supposed to take a cold shower every day?
Oh, this is the thing we're talking about doing. Is that what it's called? Phase one? I didn't know that. We're talking about doing like another 35-day challenge. It's got the cold shower in it. I'll be honest. I'm not sure how psyched I am to do a cold shower every day. Depends on how long it is. If it's 30 seconds, I'm in. If it's multiple minutes, that could be an issue. 35 days in a row. We'll see. I need somebody hit me with the rules of this challenge.
I think this guy's just trying to see how much he can get you to torture yourselves under the guise of self-improvement. Phase two is going to be what? Distance yourself from your family because they're holding back from your goals. Phase three, give Angie Frisella control of your bank accounts because her worldly possessions are clouding your judgment. I don't know, guys. All I'm saying is I've seen enough cold documentaries to know that this whole thing ends up with a penis way closer to your mouth than you ever would have imagined. Be safe. Love you guys.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, maybe we're being indoctrinated into a cult and we're going to have to let Andy Frisella have prima nocta with all of our wives sooner than later. That's how these things go. I definitely like the structure of 75 hard. And so I'm kind of leaning into doing more of the 75 hard tasks every day, even though I'm in a post 75 hard period. Okay. Here's another voicemail.
Yeah, it's Super Lee. Ed, I want to apologize for, you know, you being tagged, all those selfies. I think I went to Twitter. I think I got to figure it out. You should stop now. So please, everyone in the Baller Lifestyle family, stop tagging Ed in your selfies.
Yeah, and guys, don't tag Ed in your selfies of your big muscly arms like Super Lee has. He doesn't like seeing that.
Your workout videos, no one needs to see that unless guys got huge arms. Yeah. Also, got a scoop it up challenge for you guys.
Oh.
Those conjoined twins that just got married. I guess one of them got married, but really they both got married. Which one are you scooping? One on the left or the one on the right? And I guess they share a vagina. Does that mean that they both have to share the wedding night and they both have to consent? I'll hang up and listen and respond on the after show. Thanks, guys. Love you. Bye.
Yeah. Chicken hands, get the cluck, scoop it up, scoop it up. All y'all bitches get
whoa,
the suckers.
Wow, jeez, the song. It's very aggressive.
Scoop it up, give me that pussy.
Whoa, jeez. Forgot about how strong the language in the song was. Guys, I am really freaked out by, unless we're talking Cheng and Aang, of course, the legends, the OGs. I really do not want to see any Siamese twins. And I don't, like, haven't we figured out how not to make them anymore? Like, why are we dealing with this? And this one, I know about this one because, friend of the show, Katie Shady, sent me the story in our group text. And this one is like basically, this is like that snake at the zoo that's got two heads. This is not even a Siamese twin situation. This is just, and I'm not going to, if don't like tell me I'm wrong, because I'm not going and looking at another picture of this thing. It's like a two-headed person. And somebody should maybe look into this. To the husband in this situation, because like, what's up with him that he'd be into this? Now, Cheng and Aang, these guys were both married men. They both had their own wives, their own children. And yes, they were joined at the liver and, you know, had to be in the bathroom at the same time. They had to do everything at the same time. Sure. But they were distinct individuals in the sense, other than they were joined together on half their body. I think they both had their own dongs. They both had their own sacks. You know, they both had their own predilections. I believe Cheng and or Aang was a real booze hound, and the other one, teetotaler, even though they shared a liver. I don't know how that works. But I'm a Cheng and Aang guy. I'm not whatever this other thing is. And I don't know if it's real or what's going on there, but it appears to have one body and two heads. And how does it... Do we not have ultrasound technology anymore? Like, there's ways to deal with this. Is this Texas's fault? Did Jesus command that this thing be put on the planet? Because it's disturbing to all of us. We shouldn't be having to deal with this. Only one email this week, and it's from somebody that signed me up for Naked Radical Trivia. Get ready to strip down and show off your radical knowledge at Naked Radical Trivia, the wildest game night in Pittsburgh. Join us for an evening of radical trivia where we strip away the conventional and get down to the bare bones of knowledge. Get ready to challenge your brain and your assumptions as we dive deep into topics that may make you question everything you thought you knew in this fun, irreverent, high-energy adult trivia game. Bring your friends or come solo. Now, imagine the kind of dude, and it is a dude, that shows up to this thing by himself. This is who you want around you? Naked trivia people, what is wrong with you people? And it's not, this is not a sexy environment. And also, whoever put me on this, was this you, Shalitsky, that put me on this mailing list? It's all mailing lists anymore. I'm on the Trump campaign. I'm on the New York City trans rights activist page, Taylor Swift, Doomsday Preppers, Jim Baker, all of them. Still getting all those emails. Oh, Shen Yun, of course. Okay, let's do a couple non-sports things, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, it's time for non-sports segment on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Non-sports segment.
Did I go too harsh on the ladies' tournament? I'm feeling kind of bad. If you're one of those people that pretends to like it, I'm sorry. Continue pretending to like it. Speaking of things people pretend to like, Kevin Hart. Here's a sentence no one has ever said. You know who cracks me up? Kevin Hart. You know whose comedy I simply can't get enough of? Kevin Hart. Well, you guys remember NFTs? Was it EFTs or NFT? I think it's NFTs. Do you remember those? That was where it was like some hideous picture on a computer. And somebody was like, you can buy it, but it's $7 million. And it's like, well, what, can't I take a screenshot of it? And they're like, yeah, but I own it. And I'm like, but it's like a monkey with a hat on. And they're like, yep, isn't it cool? And I'm like, no. And also, I don't get it. Hey, fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show.
Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.